Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
A long weekend ahead of us, whether you're planning on barbecuing this weekend or maybe you want to start getting a little bit of shape in the back garden or the backyard. Our home squad, Alan Grant, DIY expert and founder and creative director of Roisin Lafferty. Roisin Lafferty is with us as well to, well, try and put a bit of shape on our patios. Good afternoon. How are you?
Hi, how are you? 087
1400 106, that's the number. If you've questions, or maybe you have a voice note, if you want to give us a shout and talk to us on air, it's 1800 453 106. I suppose, like, I know, Alan, in my case, the first thing that I need to do is, like, it's the weeds. It's the weeding is the first thing, you know, in between the joints.
Yeah. Yeah, and so if you have weeds, you can use this kind of like a weeder. It's like a triangular shaped, it's like on the end of a stick, so you can just kind of grab them out. And then, like, nobody likes using the product, we won't name, that is not very good for the environment. But you can get glyphosate free sprays, so aren't as harmful, or else industrial grade vinegar. So if you're kind of on a personal basis with your local chipper, ask them for some undiluted vinegar, which is excellent. So that'll just cure all the weeds.
So the first thing, we got to pull them out first of all, which is absolutely back-breaking stuff.
Yeah, so if you can get that long kind of stick, you can actually do it without
which
actually...
Which one is this, the one that burns them?
No, that's it. There is another one that you can use the gas torch on. It's very good, very effective, but I think you're standing over for about a minute and a half of weed. If you have a lot of weeds, kind of, you know, it's a lot of time.
I just have a brush thing, like it's nearly like a little rakey brush. And
exactly. It's like a pointed kind of bristle.
Break your back doing it, though.
Yeah, you have to get the long-armed one.
What happens in your 5'9"? Okay, so we need that. And then how are we going to kill them that they don't come back for the rest of the year?
Yeah, well, so you can use sprays. As I said, there's different types of ones on the market, but I try and go for one that's a glyphosate-free one first.
Glyphosate-free.
So that's the real kind of baddie for the environment that's in a lot of the stronger ones that they're trying to restrict now on the market. But they're still available, so they are.
Yeah, but I pour this over the backyard for the last 3 years and they're still back. Like, I'll have to do this again during the summer.
Yeah, you'll have to keep on top of it. So we recommend maybe every 6-8 weeks, keep on top of the ones that are just coming up, quick little spray. And what is it? Do that in the evening time, when there's no kids or animals around. Most of them are only dangerous when wet. So
it's
keep
not
that
the
in
quick
mind.
Fix you're looking for.
It's not, no. It's soul-destroying stuff, isn't it?
It is, yeah. God. But look, these are the small... We talk about on this show about a lot of different things that cost huge amounts of money.
Yeah, this is true.
You can do really big, impactful things in your garden that don't cost a fortune.
Well, that's the thing. We want to kind of put shape and make it nice. And I think a lot of us have probably got into a little bit of outdoor entertaining now, mainly maybe because of COVID as well. We like to have people over. I love to barbecue roasting. So how, like, what your top, I suppose, three tips for people if they're maybe going to redesign their patio this year?
So much the patio is a room. Think of it as a room. It's an outdoor room. It's an extension of your house. So you have fun with it. You can absolutely carry materials from inside out. So one thing we do a lot with gardens we design is tiling. You just need to make sure that they're suitable for outside, so they're suitable for frost and ice. But ceramics are mostly fine. Also, concrete tiles are really good. So you can have kind of patterned tiles, or you can do timber effect tiles or timber effect decking made with composite, so it's not slippy, but so that it looks like your flooring from inside continues out. So that's one tip, that you kind of blur the line between indoor and outdoor.
Yeah.
Mirrors are amazingly effective outside.
I have one in the shed for the past 2 years. I need to hang it up.
Brilliant. They really look like they trick your eye. You need to be careful. It's good to put some sort of kind of mesh over it so birds don't fly into it. But depending on how you have it, even if they're kind of angled, it gives your eye, it feels like your garden goes on much more. It's like a secret garden. Okay. That's really cool. And lighting. Don't underestimate lighting at all. Because let's face it, okay, we're being really, really, you know, optimistic here. Mm. But a lot of the time you appreciate the garden from inside looking out. So rather than looking out at kind of a black abyss, have layered lighting in your planter beds and it will feel even more like a lovely room. Also brilliant for entertaining then kind of into the evening.
On the mirror that we're going to hang up outside, Alan, how do you hang a mirror on an outside concrete wall?
Depends on what fixings are on the back of the mirror, but I would suggest to drill a 6mm drill bit, red roll plug and a screw. And then you can actually get the special outdoor hooks as well to apply for that as well.
They'll
kind of weather better. So you want the stainless steel or a good galvanised quality one.
Okay, that's a job for a friend of mine who I hope is listening and knows they're going to get a job later on today. Fran is wondering, Alan, my garden is infested with ants in the grass and in the patio. I've tried various compounds like Ant Stop. I still can't eradicate them.
Yeah, so there's a couple of different, it depends where they are in the garden, but I'd say from this caller, probably there's some slabs outside. They love a bit of sand and up around sliding doors and that. We'd use like bait stations and stuff like that. They can be used indoor and outdoor, great for the kitchen, but outside they can be used for up to 3 months. So they go in, they grab the poison, bring it back to the nest. But I will say, good weather's on the way because we've been selling a lot of ant products so far.
Is that
far.
The telltale?
That is, and it's been very early this year. We've been selling for about 8 weeks now of ant products. So once people have see that early onslaught of ants in the garden, you can be sure of just good weather on the way.
I'm not going to tell this whole story because all of my environmental listeners will probably go mad. But what I will say to Fran, if you're listening, try all of the other alternatives. And if it doesn't work, give Rent-A-Kill a call. And I say that as somebody with experience in this area. It certainly solved the problem with the ants. 087 1400 106 is the number. Listener bought a house recently with an old wooden shed in the garden. It desperately needs to be replaced. It's falling apart. It's full of holes. I'm considering getting the same standard kind of wooden shed. Is there anything now that I need to know or anything I should look out for? Are the wooden ones the best ones? And I'm doing it on a budget.
Okay, wooden ones will last 10, 15, up to 20 years, right? But you need to have at least 19 mil thickness in the timber. Okay, so there's a really good company called Timber Trove. They specialise in good quality sheds. You want to have it lined as well on the inside. And just to make sure that there's good ironmongery on it as well, that it's not, the ironmongery is not going to rust. Now, if you're putting kind of say raised beds up against it, you need to make sure that there's that airflow around the shed. So when it gets wet, it can dry out really quickly. Otherwise, the wood will actually rot. So just make sure spacing all the way around it.
And then if you're not spending a huge amount on the shed, you can still make it look pretty, even if it's a basic shed, by painting it and painting it in with kind of the boundary wall. Paint is another really, really simple, inexpensive tool to elevate your garden. So, for example, like a dark grey or a black makes all your planting pop. So it sounds counterintuitive. People think you painted a light colour. If you want your planting to shine, you disappear the boundary, disappear the colour of the shed. So darker colours will make it look better.
Why did my patio slabs crack the first year after going down? When I contacted both the shop that I bought them from and the company who put them down for me, neither wanted to know anything about it. So I'm now left with loads of broken slabs. I'm wondering who's liable and if you've any advice on how I can stop more from splitting.
I would say that's an installation problem there. You use like a machine called a whacker. It sounds like the base layer, the hardcore underneath wasn't whacked enough. So over time that you get them kind of rocking and then they will crack over time. So I'd say it's an installation problem. It's not necessarily the
installation.
The installation and putting them in.
So get back on to whoever put them down for you. Listener wants to buy outdoor furniture this year, but I don't have room in my shed for the long cushions that come with the benches. So where do people typically store these big cushions when they're not left out all winter?
We are always trying to factor them in everywhere. So either in a shed, a garage, or sometimes you can get bench boxes. So the box itself, like the bench itself, stores the cushions.
Yeah.
In general, that is the main thing to try factor in, because also, again, we live in Ireland, not to be negative, but even when it says it's suitable for outdoors, most of the furniture is only suitable for showers. It's not suitable to be left.
Torrential rain, like we had last July. I throw mine in a black bag in the attic.
Yeah, that's what I do myself.
I've been doing it for 3 years and they're 100%. Listener is wondering about, I have a patio in my country garden. It's away from the house and hedge with freestanding pergola around it. Now, this sounds fab.
Lovely.
It's fully filled in with wooden slates to shoulder height for windbreak, currently painted off-white with a faded creamish colour. I'm wondering, though, what colours could you recommend for change? I'm thinking something a little bit darker, I'm afraid, because I want it to kind of blend in and look well, but it's a tedious paint job, so it'll only be painted once this year.
So again, the boundary do samples, but do try, trust me on this one. The darkness to highlight the surrounding area is magic. It really is.
This is the black and grey.
Yeah, the black and grey, just for boundaries. But in general, those kind of sage tones, the kind of the soft greeny greys that are quite calm. You don't want it to jar with the landscape. If you're in a beautiful environment, which it sounds like, surrounded by beautiful nature, you want to blend. So those kind of sagey green tones are lovely.
A listener as well is wondering, we've moved the kitchen in our house and the old drain for the kitchen is now in the middle of the patio. How do we block it up? We currently just have a lump of insulation stuck.
It depends what kind of drain it is. If you have, say, an eco drain, which is just a linear drain, you can have it around and continue. It's similar to a shower. You know the way in kind of a wet room shower, you can cover your drain with a tile.
Okay.
You can do the same thing in a patio if you have the right drain. So eco drain is a good one. But rather than having a big ugly square drain in the middle of your patio, you could continue your you know, whether it's a patio slab or something, and just have a thin drain around the perimeter of it.
Listeners got in touch for our texter who was wondering about the cushions and the outdoor furniture. Their suggestion for the cushions is to try a Hoover bag. Apparently it works brilliantly.
Reduce the size by about 60%.
Yeah. 087 1400 106. That's the number for your questions for Alan Grant and Roisin Lafferty. Alan, this listener is wondering about the certain types of outdoor heaters. Are there some that are better than others in terms of shapes or sizes?
Yeah, so you have the gas ones, which would be like the traditional mushroom ones that we've seen for years, or else the long electric bar ones. I have the electric bar one because it's just handier.
I have one of those.
Gas. Yeah,
yeah, you hook it up.
Remote controlled, very effective.
Oh, no, I don't have that fancy. You have to plug mine in.
No, I will say it looks, it throws off a kind of red colour, which kind of is warming as well.
Yeah.
But it's great. It's always there. It'll always work when you switch it on. Because sometimes with the gas ones, if they haven't been used in a long time, it's not that they're broken, but you're ding, bang, 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 trying to get it lit. The electric ones are very good. Then you have like the fire pits. You know, there's a one there called the Phoenix Fire Pit. And it's kind of like the Osmo one that's in America. So you get the secondary burn. So after about 15, 20 minutes, you're not going to get any smoke. So you light it because it's not only burning the logs in it once they're killing dried logs, it's actually burning the smoke as well.
So I have a fierce notion whenever I do eventually save up to do the kind of kitchen come outdoor back area. I really want to get one of those. You know, the dining sit. I don't have an outdoor dining table, but you know, the ones with the seats around it and they have the kind of mini fire thing in the middle.
Yeah, yeah.
Like they're pricey, but they're
warm your drinks, though.
Hmm?
They'd warm your drinks, though.
Yeah, but you could sit out all night. Yeah.
You could have a lovely fire pit on one side and then...
Oh, I think they look great.
And they're
great.
It'd be gas ones, isn't it?
Yeah.
I've seen them, yeah.
That would be great.
Yeah.
That'll go with the little back shed bar thing I want to put in eventually, you know?
Of course. The other thing with the fires is, well, one, you can have them on the wall, but in terms of the heaters, you can get now floor lamps. So they look, again, like an indoor floor lamp, but it also has a heater as part of it. If you want more of a freestanding piece.
For people who don't want major investment, but they just want to kind of dicky up the yard, Alan, what are your sort of maybe three top tips, budget-friendly kind of advice?
Just invest in a power washer, right?
Oh, yeah, have one.
Yeah, keep all the surfaces nice and clean. And just kind of, as we said at the top of the show there, is just keep an eye on the weeds, kind of use some paint, kind of add a bit of colour to the walls, and just look at kind of, as Roisin said there, tiling. It's not a huge expense, depending on the area that has to be covered, but it will take give a massive impact, so it will.
That sort of white marble look?
No, not at all.
Oh,
no,
really?
Like proper pattern tiles. I'll show you some we've done. Like really, really beautiful. Or colour. Continue colour in. So again, you're looking out at something nice.
Sorry, hang on. If people have, we'll say like a white tile, you know, in their kitchen, would you not keep that running the whole way outside?
You can, or you might have a small terrace that's more like a small room and you want that to be the more kind of playful, fun thing. So think of kind of jewel toned tiles. They look really nice. For example, if you're building a planter bed or you're building a bench, you can just tile on front of it. You can make it in simple block work. It doesn't have to be expensive construction at all. but then to clad the tiles. It's a good way of bringing in colour.
Just finally, Alan, there's bamboo in our back garden. We've been told it's a weed and we should get rid of it before it takes over.
Yeah.
Are we right?
Like, just keep an eye on it. Yeah. Try really? And get rid of it as quick as you can, because it'll just, it goes down as quick as much as it goes up, and it will spread throughout the garden. So yeah, it's lovely to look at.
Or it acts as a really good inexpensive screen if you contain where the roots can go.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, you probably need to be decent in the garden to do that though, do you?
I'm not.
Yeah. Oh, well, listen, when I heard you talking about planters, not a chance. I've tried for 3 years and I'm going artificial. That's just, I can't do it. I can't mind the plants. I'm useless.
Get guidance on the right plants.
Yeah. Oh, okay? No, I've tried.
I'm not able to keep plants alive, but don't put artificial plants in a garden. Really, no, really, really.
I won't have room anyway by the time I put in this fake little shed bar I'm going to put in eventually, whenever I win the cash machine. Roisin Lafferty and Alan Grant, thanks a million to you both for joining us here today on The Home Squad.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.